Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Go Steelers! Go Steelers! Say go Steelers! Go Steelers!
Welcome to the Steelers Outpost Podcast, a proud member of Sports Drink Network. It is June 13th, 2022. This is Tom coming to you from the alternative studios in the Washington, D.C. Outpost, i.e. I'm at work. And Nick joins me from the Houston Outpost. And we have scrapped the script because Nick, out of the gate, very angry about a tweet he just read.
I think angry is a little bit of a... That's an overstatement there. I'm thoroughly amused and tickled by the tweet of a... Major Pittsburgh, I guess, radio personality. They still have those. Somebody's listening. And, okay, so generally I wouldn't want to, like, talk crap about any other person who talks about sports or whatever, because we're all losers for sitting here talking about it so much. But everyone's going to probably know which tweet I'm talking about here. So even omitting the dude's name, it is what it is. It's just such a bad take that it has to be stated. And I think there's a perfect way to start off the show today while we're in the doldrums of the offseason. So, okay, big time Steelers radio guy tweets, on vacation in Florida, I'm coming home today, enjoying pool this morning and a family walks by, head to toe Steelers stuff. I'm a proud Pittsburgher, but ellipsis. My conversation with someone back home on the matter, and he includes a screenshot of a text conversation here that is one of the cringiest conversations I have witnessed on the internet. The generation above mine has a little bit of a struggle with cringe. They don't know when it happens, when it doesn't happen, how to not avoid it, so here we are. Okay, here's the text. Blue Bubble. I'm in Orlando, coming home today. I still don't get why people from Pittsburgh need to wear all their Steelers, pens, et cetera shit on vacation. Why? Why do you need to announce your citizenship? I go on vacation to get away. And then his compatriot responds, LOL, period. That is absolutely true. Back to the Blue Bubble. When I see someone at pool or on shuttle or airport or whatever with Steelers stuff and I'm on vacation, ellipsis. I sit, all caps, as far as possible from them. I ain't here to talk about effing Big Ben or Malkin, period. And the best part, I want peace, period. Complete and utter sincerity. There's not an ounce of irony in this tweet. And I just have to ask, Dad, what's your reaction when you see a tweet like that? Because to me, it's the cringiest, most laughable attempt at fabricating some gritty personality, but in your attempt to be like, where does that come from? It all goes back to the who cares? Oh yeah, cool. They're in Steelers jerseys. Like, what are you, more Pittsburgh than other people? Are you just like, how could you in any way be affected negatively by seeing people wear Steelers gear? I guess the implication is this ultimate hipster mindset of like, oh, I knew the band before they were big. Like, what is that to care about that? And then to broadcast it as a tweet. So you want people to see this. You want this opinion of yours to be known by other people. You want to create this image of yourself that's like gritty, but in reality, it's super cringe. And it goes back to my constant sports take about like, when you try not to care as much, you're actually caring more. You're taking it way too seriously by trying not to take it seriously. It's weird. It's so tone deaf, and it rubbed me the wrong way. And everybody else on Twitter is saying the same thing, but they're taking more the angle of like, you should be proud in the Steelers. I'm taking the angle more of like, what are you doing, buddy? This is embarrassing that you're trying to like form your personality off of a take like this.
I don't have anything to add because I can't crack inside that skull of his to figure out what the motivation was. I will note that there is a 24/7, 365 news cycle. You've got to fill it. But obviously, he saw something and he reacted. And yeah, maybe I overstated by saying you were angry. It's less amusing to me and more curious, right? And when you look at the comments after the tweet, it's really interesting. There's a mix of support and approbation, shall we say, in other cases. I love the fact that people in Pittsburgh wear their gear. You know, and I live in Washington. You never see, in how many years I've been here, you rarely, and these days, never see any Redskins or, I guess now, Commanders gear. No red and gold. People go to work in black and gold, for crying out loud. Vacation seems like, of course, wear your yeah. Steelers bikini. Who cares? I mean, that's – and you know, and when you and I go on vacation, we've gone on the family vacation – we take the Steeler flag with us and hang it from the front of the beach house.
Because it's fun.
It's fun. The world is too serious.
Exactly. The world's too serious. It's fun. Who cares? That's one of the funny things about Pittsburghers is that they wear the jerseys all the time. But you like, look, if you're talking about any city outside of like a couple of the major metropolitan areas, nobody has fashion, okay? Everybody's shopping at Gap and Walmart. So when Pittsburgh people, and you're talking about you don't see Pittsburgh jerseys in Washington, that's actually kind of the opposite of the point he's making. He's saying he sees more jerseys outside of Pittsburgh, which, of course, if you've ever been to Pittsburgh, which the guy lives in, so I don't get it, but, like, is objectively false. There's a ton of black and gold in the city, particularly compared to other big cities, right? So, but he's saying you see this gear outside of the city more than you see it inside of the city. And my thing is like, none of you have fashion. Y'all look like garbage. So you might as well wear the Steelers jerseys anyways. It's the equivalent of the triple oversized jeans and Skechers that everybody's walking around in anyways. So at least there's a sense of fun. And damn, man, the colors are dope. I mean, so why do all these rappers wear the Pittsburgh Pirates hat? It's not because they're good, because they're bad. They're the worst team in history of organized sports. But everyone wears it because, like, well, the black and gold looks pretty sweet. So it's just so self-serious and tone-deaf that it's brutal. And that's kind of been one of my recent themes on the podcast of the last year, is that, like, you can take this seriously, and that, like, when the Steelers lose, like, you can be mad, of course, because we're wrapped up in it. We emotionally invest in it. We are able to separate that from a family death or something like that. But the point is, and I think part of my take makes this point a lot, like, when you try not to care, that's the least cool thing you can do. Because to me, the most unattractive quality in people is try hard. It's like, if you're trying to be cool, you're not cool. You're not cool. And so that's what that is. When you're just resisting, give in. Like, be angry when they lose, but then shake it off. Be happy as hell when they win. Let it propel you through the week. But also understand that they're going to play again next year and the year after that. And it is what it is. And this is coming from a guy, me, who has, and surely still will, been catatonic during and after losses, where I'll tell people close to me, this emotion doesn't occur anywhere else in my life. I never get this worked up about anything except for the Steelers. And maybe that's actually a good thing, is like there's somewhere to get it out. But the self-serious thing is so brutal. You have to be able to just wear your heart on a sleeve with this stuff. And then when it comes to some serious discussion or whatever, yeah, sure, put it in perspective. But that is just so fun, police. I'm wearing the Ben jersey today just out of respect.
Well, some of these guys in the media, especially if you're not widely known, well-known, have to be worried somebody's going to notice what you do for a living. So no wonder they have a little bit of an edge.
Yeah, I don't know. But let's go get Kenny jerseys today, or maybe we'll do Pickens and Pickett.
Speaking of Kenny and cool, we've had mini camp, and there was an interesting article from Mark Caboli in The Athletic talking about the pecking order with regard to the quarterbacks. And I don't know if you'll be blown away by the results of what was going on in mini camp or not. Did you get a chance to look at it?
Yeah, it's just seniority. The Steelers have always, will always do that. I guess, you know, Mitch getting the extra nod over Mason. I'm not sure if they came in the league at the same time. Mitch, maybe a year before. Mitch probably 2 years before, right? But Obviously, he's brought in to be the starting quarterback. They didn't even know they were getting Kenny Pickett at that time or not. Even when Kenny slid to them in the draft, quote-unquote slid, or I mean, he fell to them, they were so pumped because they didn't think that they would be able to get him that way. So Mitch really was plan one. And the thought, I think, was if we can get Kenny Pickett, then, oh, my goodness, this is a great problem to have. But, of course, Mitch is going to get the starting reps. And then I guess the one that might surprise other people would be that Mason Rudolph gets snaps over Kenny Pickett. But if you follow the Steelers, you know the rookie is not going to get the snaps at first. But they're also not afraid to implement these rookies, especially over the past few years when the old Steelers technique of, you know, leaving Cam Hayward to not be a starter until his like third year. Like those days are long gone. All the early rookies end up starting. Might be a little bit different with the quarterback position. But yeah, I wasn't surprised to see that. And let me ask you this, Dad, because we actually haven't talked about this that much. We have talked about how Kenny's actually going to have a tough time beating out Mitch Trubisky because Mitch is physically better than Kenny in every area. Like we've said with Kenny, that's the whole thesis. I've said that, you know, so many times, but like Mitch has a better arm, he's faster, he's bigger, and he has so much more experience that obviously when you see them on the practice field together, Mitch is going to look better at first. That doesn't mean Kenny's not going to surpass him at some point, but just at first, Mitch isn't going to walk on the field like Trevor Lawrence would have walked on the field or Zach Wilson, like that type of first-round rookie where they start throwing the ball and you're like, oh my God, their physical talent is so extreme where like we should probably put that guy in. So how are you going to feel if Mitch is the starter for the first couple games, the first half of the season, or the first full season even? How does that make you think about Kenny Pickett, whose real claim to the first round was supposed to be that he's a day one ready NFL starter? Does that change your opinion on Kenny? Is that a failure or is it okay? What do you think?
Yeah, it's a good point. That's sort of the characterization of Kenny. I wouldn't be disappointed. I just want to be in the best position to win. And, you know, Kenny's game ready and totally unproven. Trubisky is game ready and, I mean, he has a history you can look back at. I just want to clarify for the audience, though, what I was talking about. I don't think I was clear that Trubisky's getting 100% of the first team snaps. Mason's getting 100% of the second team snaps. And in fact, there is a rookie in the first. They're running Pickens with the first. So there is a, cool, you know, man. They will run a rookie in the with the first team, and Kenny's getting all the third. And gosh, I gotta learn how to. Olin Duncan is basically sitting there with the new quarterback coach, what they think is a big benefit. So just interesting, and I would have not expected anything differently. Although you would think they would mix and match a little bit more, but the answer to your question is I'm fine with Mitch starting
the whole year.
If he's winning, yes.
That was a long pause.
It's all I care about.
Am I on mute? You think about it. Yeah, I when they were thinking about drafting Kenny, and I was a little bit worked up about it, and what, you know, it is what it is. I've gotten much more pumped about it since they've gotten him. But this was the thing that annoyed me, was when we were breaking it down before the draft. I'm like, look, if you pick Kenny Pickett, like, I don't even know if he's going to beat out Mitch Trubisky. Because Mitch Trubisky is actually pretty good. Now, I'm going to fight back a little bit on some of the people who have the over-idealistic look of, like, maybe it was just all Chicago and he's going to be this amazing quarterback. I think Chicago has massive issues. But, I mean, I just think that if you're going to be a great quarterback, it's going to show at some point in Chicago. Like, for instance, the criminal Deshaun Watson, well, you know, alleged criminal Deshaun Watson, he had nothing in Houston. Yeah, he had DeAndre Hopkins, but then DeAndre Hopkins leaves and he has an unbelievable year. So he, like, great quarterbacks have shown on bad teams when you get like a 4-year sample size. So I don't think Mitch is this superstar quarterback, but I do think there is legitimacy to the thought around the league that, like, Chicago was so bad. Matt Nagy was so bad. And he goes to Buffalo and sort of revitalizes his image with one great preseason game against the Bears, which to me, it's nice to see that on the field. Obviously, it doesn't mean anything with how vanilla the game plans are. Otherwise, Josh Dobbs would be lighting the world on fire and James Washington would have been a number one receiver if the preseason were indications of that. But I don't think it's useless, right? It is. You look at Mitch like, man, he really does have a strong arm. He really is one of the better scramblers in the NFL. He does have a lot of talent. And his teammates and coaches love him. People are effusive on both sides of the ball. And you could see that it was a little over the top in Buffalo because they're trying to get the guy a job. But you're not going to do that if you don't really like the guy. Why would you care if he gets a job? So I do think there is something to Mitch Trubisky. And if he does start the whole year, like this is, I've also changed my tune on that with Kenny a little bit as well, which is like, I mean, if the quarterback's supposed to have a 15-year career or whatever, I mean, whatever. You know, like, it's not the biggest deal. It could be a little bit impatient. Although I will say, just given everything I've just said about Trubisky, unless he's taken this massive leap forward, it would be a little bit of a bummer if the quarter, if Kenny Pickett, you know, he just wouldn't really be a true first rounder in my mind. That's like, well, that kind of sounds like a second or third round quarterback if you can't beat out an average starter, which is what Mitch could hope to be at best. When you start going through all the quarterbacks in the NFL, it's like, is he going to be better than Mahomes, Allen, Roger? What, like, you go down the list for Trubisky, and like, well, the hope is that he could be in the late teens or the early 20s. And like, if our first round guy can't beat him out, it's like, oh, that's disappointing. But it really doesn't matter until you see Kenny after a year or two. Like, what if Kenny's great in his third year? Who cares about that first year? So I agree with you. As long as the team's good, I don't think it's an indictment on Kenny Pickett's career at all, because it's not like he can't beat out Mason Rudolph. Like, Trubisky could be a pretty good player.
Well, trying to follow me on this, because the prevailing wisdom is that you need to win. You need to plow through the playoffs. You need to do that on a quarterback's rookie contract, right? You need to be able to afford all the pieces around him. So right. You got to get him while he is less expensive. So, you know, obviously Trubisky was plugging a hole and was more than a hedge against disaster. But how much confidence do they have in Trubisky when they ended up getting Pickett? I would like to know what the Steelers think about the relative weight. Is Trubisky really just a bridge to Pickett? Are they gonna get? Do they see him for a medium to long term potential, or it's like, no, we invest in a first round guy, we're gonna push that at some point? My question to you is, what? Let's assume Mitch starts the season.
Mm-hmm. I think he will. Yeah.
What will you need to see? What will compel you to switch horses? Like, 2-3 is the record? 2-3? Do you let 3-2? Is that not good enough? If two and three, when you're playing against, let's assume you've got the Bengals. Deshaun's not going to play, so you have potential against the Browns.
Right, and
you're going to play the Bills. You could easily be 2-3.
Sure.
What would you do at that point? Would you consider switching quarterbacks, or do you really need to assess why we're losing the games?
That's a great question. That's where my mind went. So okay, so two things. On Mitch Trubisky's future and how the Steelers view him. Let's bookmark that for a second. And then to answer the question you just asked, I think it's going to be so hard for Kenny to replace him, because they're basically looking for the quarterback this year to do the same thing. It's like they're looking for a game manager who's going to make a couple big plays a game, but I think they really want to get back to like running the ball, play defense, and that kind of thing. They have a lot of playmakers who you can get the ball to in space, who can make something happen. Everybody can run after catch on the Steelers. Matt Canada is going to want to do that. Obviously, there's been a ton of reports about the offense has been revolutionized since Ben hasn't been there. And I think some people complain about it, some people don't. I go with it's totally illogical that they didn't completely change all the terminology for Ben 18 years in. I get it. And I also agree that that probably handcuffs Canada a little bit. I put a tweet out, by the way, the other day saying, and if anybody can answer this for me, please let me know. I can't think of one single college offensive coordinator who has successfully transitioned to the pros. I can't think of one. They've all flamed out, and it's very bizarre that I can't even think of a single example, at least in the last 5 to 10 years. All the great coordinators are these dudes who were like quality control NFL coaches at 23, like right out of college. It seems like you got to get groomed to that game. So I still have a lot of doubts about Canada that way, but I definitely acknowledge it'll be exciting to see them actually run the offense. So I think it'll be hard to supplant Trubisky, because you're right. Like, what would you need to see? It doesn't seem Steelers-like to be at 2-3. Like, we're just going to make a shakeup. That's not very Tomlin-like. That's not Steelers-like. And I don't know. Like, Mitch would have to be so actively bad, like throwing picks and just skipping balls to receivers, that I think that's what you'd need to replace him. And I'd actually be like a little annoyed if they replace him. Wouldn't you kind of think like, you should give him more chance than that? It's not like, I mean, the Steelers line, it's still going to be a massive concern. How could we be blaming this whole whole thing on Mitch Trubisky. So I think, and then to answer the second question here, I really do think they're saying if Trubisky's awesome and Kenny Pickett never becomes the starting quarterback and maybe we trade him 2 years in for a third-round pick, fine, because we're going to try and find Ben's replacement, so we want as many options as possible. And you and I know that almost never works. Like Josh Dobbs, Rudolph, you keep trying bottom of the barrel. It's like you need to draft the quarterback at 11, you know, like Ben Roethlisberger is generally how it goes. But this is kind of an interesting situation because Mitch Trubisky was number two. He's a real talent, and there have been flashes where it's like, oh, actually, maybe there is still something to this guy. And there have been a couple quarterbacks through the years who have kind of, I'm trying to think, like not like Gus Verratt or something like that, but there have been a few guys who have kind of withstood bad situations early in their career. And anyway, so that's what I think they're doing. I really think they're open-minded. Like, hey, if Mitch is the man, that's a good problem for us to have. And I love that. It reminds me of the Cardinals drafting Kyler Murray the year after they drafted Josh Rosen. And to me, I agreed with that fully. Like, dude, who cares about Josh Rosen? That didn't work out. You have this amazing opportunity to get a much more talented quarterback. Great. Who cares if we missed on one first round pick? So I hope that's what the Steelers are doing there. And I would hope that they would give Mitch enough rope. And once again, I don't totally think that that's an indictment on Kenny, because I'll just be shocked if Kenny sucks. You know, he's so well-rounded and poised that it's like, what are you going to do? Right. Anyways, we will be talking about Kenny and Mitch and all the boys here on the podcast. And the reason why we can do that on the podcast is because of Sports Drink. Today's episode and all the episodes of Steelers Outpost podcast are brought to you by Sports Drink, your digital water cooler. Sports Drink, they're a podcast network. They got some tweets out there. They got some words. They got some audio for you to hear. Bunch of podcasts from various teams and various professional and college sports. Check them out at sportsdrink.org, or maybe even easier, go to Instagram, type in at sportsdrink, spelled like sports drink without the vowels. So at sportsdrink. Check them out. We thank them for sponsoring our show.
BJ Finney is calling it a career, and he is taking what is being referred to as medical retirement. If you recall, he joined the Steelers as an undrafted free agent out of Kansas State in 2015, and I didn't really remember his story until I reread it. I mean, he had to fight to play at Kansas State. I mean, this guy has always been swimming upstream, and he's like a classic second-string Steelers offensive lineman who sort of, you know, makes his way and becomes an integral part of the team. And I was sad to see him go when he went to the Seahawks, but happy to see he got a 2-year, $8 million deal. You know, a guy who just played above his weight, did okay. I mean, sadly, he only played 6 games in 2 seasons with the Seahawks, but he got paid. And then he came back with us for a while, and I guess it's just the end of the rails for him.
Family, massive Steelers fans, too, as Alex.
That's right.
Goat. Yeah. The great Alex Kozora pointed out on Twitter the other day. So 8 years, made a massive bag at the end of his career, millions of dollars. That's awesome. People do have to remember, like, cut that money in half. And remember, like, it's not like he's set for the rest of his life, but that is a great start. And I'm sure he'll be fine. But it is nice that he got the payday at the end. You're right. He's a classic Ligursky, Chris Hubbard, those kind of guys, those swing backup linemen who eventually turned into starters who were awesome for the Steelers. And, man, those Killer Bee days are getting further and further in the rear view. And it's been a sad couple years transition. But like we said, the theme of the podcast recently are it is an exciting new chapter where there's a bunch of fresh new faces for the Steelers with a lot of potential. So congratulations to BJ Finney.
It is a little like World War II veterans. There just aren't that many of them around anymore.
There they go.
Hit us up on Twitter.
Chris Boswell.
Hit us up on Twitter at Steelers Outpost. Shoot us an email at SteelersOutpost@gmail.com. Tell us what you're thinking about the quarterbacks. Thanks for listening. Until next week, go Steelers.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.